Hold up your Bibles. This is the Word of God. I will choose to believe it over my circumstances. I will choose to trust it whether I see the results immediately or not. This is God speaking to me today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Sometimes I told you in life, whether you're a good person or a bad one, whether you're living life upright. Tracy, you could put your Bible down. That's okay. You were just into what I was saying. It's all good. I just didn't want your arm to go to sleep. No, it's fine. That's okay. You're good. Whether you're good or bad, whether you are living the good life or you're just living the sinful existence that you were created to live, I want you to know sometimes bad things happen to good people. Anybody, can I get an amen right there, right? Any bad stuff ever happened to you? Raise your hand if some bad stuff has happened in you. And everybody should have their hands up. Jesus spoke these words. This is what he said. For he, the Father, right, gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. What's he saying? He said, sometimes it rains. Sometimes bad things happen to good people, and sometimes good things happen to bad people. I told you that your membership into the family of God does not exempt you from bad things happening in your life. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble, right? There are people that will tell you, oh, you come to Christ, you're never going to have to deal with those things ever again. That is a lie. If you bought into that theology, you will soon realize, after walking with God for a very short period of time, that bad stuff still happens. And if you bought into that theology, the moment that the bad things happen, you start looking at God. Well, God, you let me down. Well, God, how could you or why would you, right? Because your theology's wrong. God ain't wrong, you're wrong, right? So let's just think about the times that we're in. To see, do bad things happen to good people? Let's see. I know some good people that have died from the coronavirus. We got riots and looting happening to some innocent people all over the country. There's a Saharan dust cloud that is causing our sun not to shine as bright today and causing the air quality to be diminished. Will you and I have to deal with that? Probably. We have hurricanes that happen here in the South, and earthquakes, and sometimes tornadoes. Why? We live in a fallen world and amongst fallen people, and sometimes, as I've told you, let me beat it into your head some more, bad things happen to good people. Because that's life. Week number one of this series, now 5 weeks ago, I told you that we're talking about the story of Joseph. We're studying the story of Joseph, and I told you that Joseph had a dream. And sometimes when we have dreams, it doesn't mean that God's going to immediately bring us to the fulfillment of the dream without a little trouble along the way. Let me tell you, many, many years ago, I was a youth pastor, and a lady prophesied to me of things that were going to come in the future. Well, the problem is, as a young believer, hearing a word from God, from someone that you trust, someone that you had a little stock, a little faith in, it all of a sudden, it kind of pumps you up. And then all of a sudden, you leave that experience, that word, and you go out into the world, and the word doesn't happen right away. So I begin, come on, God, what are you doing? What's up? You heard the word. I believe the word was from you. Matter of fact, you've even confirmed that word over and over and over in my life, yet I've not seen it yet. And a year goes by, and two, and three, and five, and ten. And then God says, now's the time. 10. That's a long time. And along the way, people would ask me, what are you doing? I thought by now, don't ask. God hasn't said to go yet. God hasn't said to do this yet. And so until that happens, I'm going to be where I am doing what I'm doing. We got to learn to dream anyway. In spite of things not happening as quickly as we would like them. The second week, I told you we cannot let the detours deter our dreams. There were some detours along the way for Joseph. There were some detours along the way for Peggy and I as we began to follow God, as we began to live this life that God has called us to. Week number three, Pastor Carla did a great job talking about doing the right thing anyway and talking about choosing to not be offended. Week number four, last week I told you that we cannot or will not allow obstacles to get in the way of God's destiny for our lives. I shared with you some of the obstacles that Peggy and I faced. By the way, those things had never been shared publicly from a pulpit in my 10 years at this church. I just felt last week it was a time to share because most people think that I got here overnight. You know, oh, like that overnight success. Well, guess what? It wasn't an overnight success. It was a 10-year journey, and it was a 10-year journey of some bumps, bruises, and some scars. I have the scars to prove that it happened. And I made the statement about the obstacles you face, that we are 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we respond to it. Listen, stuff's going to happen. How you respond is what makes all the difference in the world. Today, I'm going to talk to you about the fact that God is the author of our connections. You ever wondered why God brought certain people into your life or you into theirs? You've wondered, man, this person is like a thorn in my side. God, what are you doing? Why is this person in my life? Y'all know what I'm talking about. I want you to know, as I began to look back over my life as a Christian, over our lives as Christian people, and the people that God, and I want you to hear, strategically placed in our lives. Now I can see it because we've begun to witness the hand of God in those relationships. And I realize that some of those relationships were there for a season. Some were there for a season. They were just there for a particular season. Some were there for a reason. Some were there to position you, and some are there to help you, and some are there because they need you, and some are there because without them and you together, there are other people that wouldn't get what they need. I call my relationships in my Christian walk my kingdom connections. Every relationship on the earth is here to affect and impact the kingdom of God on the earth. I want you to hear that. Listen. Every relationship, as a Christian man or woman, as a young person or old, every relationship that you're involved in is here for one reason: to impact the kingdom of God on the earth, to make a difference on the earth for God.
Yes. Amen.
Not for your comfort, not for your prosperity, although that could happen along the way. It is so that God gets the glory for what's happening in your life.
Yes. Amen.
God is the author of connections. As I walk now with God for over 20 years and witness people being placed in our lives and seeing what God does when he puts people together, it is amazing. And I begin to realize that God, you're not doing any of this by accident. Some people think that God created the world and he just set us in motion and just took his hands off the wheel and said, I'm just going to watch this. This is going to be fun. They're going to just run into one another and they're going to have these relationships. It's going to be fun to watch because they're a bunch of goofballs. I want you to know God is intimately involved in the lives of his people. If you're a Christian, if you're a man or woman of God, listen to me. God is intimately concerned with the goings-on of your life. I want you to do me a favor as we continue on. Point to the minister in the room. Good, nobody's pointing right here. You're all the minister in the room. God has called us together because we're all in this together. Now, let's go to Joseph's story. Joseph has now been falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, and he's in prison. Remember, the prison warden has now raised Joseph up and put him in charge of everything. If you would, turn to Genesis chapter 40, and we're going to look at what happens. That's right. Right here in prison, Joseph now finds himself with two new prisoners. So these two new characters enter the story, and we wonder why God puts us in these kingdom connections. So here it is, Genesis chapter 40, verse 1. I'm going to read kind of a lengthy passage here, so bear with me for a minute. Sometime later, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their master, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was angry with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker. And he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the same prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, and he attended them. After they had been in custody for some time, Each of the two men, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were being held in prison, had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. When Joseph came to them the next morning, he saw that they were dejected. So he asked Pharaoh's officials who were in custody with him in his master's house, "Why do you look so sad today?" "Well, we both had dreams," they answered, "but there is no one to interpret them." Then Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams." So the chief cupbearer told Joseph his dream. He said, "In my dream, I saw a vine in front of me, and on the vine were three branches. And as soon as it budded, it blossomed, and its clusters ripened into grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup and put the cup in his hand." This is what it all means, Joseph said. "The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your position, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand just as you used to when you were his cupbearer." Look at verse 14, very important. "But when all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison." Now, what's about to happen in verse 15, I don't believe has happened in the life of Joseph up to this point. Look what he says. "I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I have done nothing to deserve being put in a dungeon." When the chief baker saw that Joseph had given a favorable interpretation, he said to Joseph, "I too had a dream. On my head were three baskets of bread. In the top basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating them out of the basket on my head." This is what it all means, Joseph said. "The three baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head and impale your body on a pole, and the birds will eat away your flesh." I hate to laugh there, but it's just like, golly, just tell it like it is, right? He could have maybe softened the blow a little bit. "Well, it's not going to go quite as good for you as it did for the cupbearer. I'm sorry, but it's not going to be good, you know." No, he just kind of just tells it like it is. "Now the third day," verse 20, "was Pharaoh's birthday, and he gave a feast for all his officials. He lifted up the heads of the chief baker and the chief cupbearer in the presence of his officials. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position so that he once again put the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he impaled the chief baker just as Joseph had said to them in his interpretation. The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him." Here in prison, we have a few different people present. We have Joseph, the falsely accused dreamer. We have the cupbearer, and we have the baker. You know that within the kingdom, they each have a different role and different responsibilities. You know, Joseph never tries to do their jobs and they don't try to do his. You know, because each of them played a specific role within the kingdom. And so it is with the kingdom of God on the earth. We each play a different role and have different responsibilities. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to go to verse 4. We're going to read just a few verses there. Let me show you why it is that we each have a different role and what's the purpose of these roles. Verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 12 says, "There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one," here it is, "the manifestation of the Spirit is given." What? "For the what? The common good." In other words, my gifts are not for me and your gifts are not for you. Our gifts are for one another. God puts us all together in this one powerful, Spirit-led entity called the church. The church, the mechanism that God has used and will continue to use for the rest of eternity, right here till the earth is burned up or till Jesus comes back, the church will be the mechanism that God uses to reach the world. The church. This conglomeration of different people all making up this one powerful organism. God is the author of our connections. The church, listen to me, is the hope of the world. I don't care what people say. I know that there are groups out there. You don't need to go to church to be the church. Listen, no, I don't have to come to church to be the church. I'm the church whether I'm at home or whether I'm here. But I want you to know here, it's so much more powerful when we join together. It's so much more powerful when we bring our gifts and our talents together to form this one body. Amen? Three different men all find themselves in the same place, very distinct roles and responsibilities. And one of the issues we need to face is that we are different and yet we're all necessary. As Carla said 2 weeks ago as she preached, we must choose not to allow offense to become part of our relationships. And here we see Joseph, after all this time, leaving his homeland, being sold to Potiphar, being falsely accused, being put in prison. He's now in prison. He finally maybe gets a break. Maybe he's going to get out. I've interpreted this dream for this guy. Maybe he's going to go back and tell Pharaoh, and I'll get out of here finally because I'm here unjustly. And at this point, Joseph must be getting pretty frustrated. Here it is, another detour, another chance to be offended, another chance for an obstacle in my path. He must be wondering, God, will this dream ever come to pass? And I wondered that a few times along the way. God, will this dream ever come to pass? Will this really happen the way you said it would happen? Joseph had to wonder, will I ever see the goodness of God on the earth? Will I just die one day, never really having realized the goodness of God on the earth? Will his word ever come to fruition in my life? And at this point, you got to admit, things are not looking very promising. Because now the cupbearer, in whose dream he has already interpreted, has now forgotten about him. And 2 more years pass by. Two, not 2 days, not 2 months, 2 more years. Forgotten about again. I'm going to teach you 3 things this morning about our kingdom connections that are important for us to remember as we go forward. In your kingdom connections, the first thing I want you to remember is this. We must learn to celebrate each other's victories. You know, the warden put Joseph in charge of everything, all those held in prison. He was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden, it says, paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. You know that the warden was able to celebrate Joseph. And thusly, when Joseph received the new prisoners, he was able to celebrate with the cupbearer of the good news that was going to happen in his life. In Genesis 40, verse 13, it says, within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head, restore you to your former position, and you'll put his cup in his hand again. Listen, yes, and I'm rejoicing with you, but hey, along the way, don't forget me, right? I'm here in prison, falsely accused. Can you just get me out? Can you speak a good word to Pharaoh on my behalf? Our role in the kingdom in relation to each other is to celebrate when our brothers and sisters are achieving and reaching their potential before our eyes. Not to be jealous, not to be backbiting. We should celebrate. When you get a promotion, please tell me, I'm excited. When something good happens in your life, tell me, I'm excited. I want you to reach your potential. I want you to reach your God potential right where you are, and I'm going to celebrate with you, but I want you to celebrate with us too. Every week in our staff meetings, I try to tell our staff what a great job they're doing. Not that we don't have problems, not that we don't address the problems, but I want to speak some life into them week after week after week. You know why? Because they're doing a great job. Because they're great people doing a great job and giving it all for God week in and week out. And you know what? It needs to be recognized. You know, your kids, if you have children, you're their leader. Recognize their victories. Recognize, pat them on the back every chance you get. Proud of you. That's good stuff. You're doing good. Now, that doesn't mean you don't address the stuff when they mess up. Got to take care of that business too, because you're the parent. God put you there for a reason. But I want you to know you're their greatest cheerleader. You gotta pump them up, raise them up, help them be the best that they could be. Celebrate their victories. When you witness another believer succeed, celebrate with them and their accomplishments. The second thing that we must do in our kingdom connections is help others get to where they need to go. Look what he said in chapter 40, verse 14. But Joseph's talking to the cupbearer. But when all goes well with you, show me kindness and mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. Please don't forget me. when you get to where it is that you're trying to go, be mindful to help others that may be in the same position that you were in at one time. We can never forget the path that we walk to get to where it is that we're going. And along the way, to see the young person or the people just starting out, you know what none of us ever did? Start at the top. Unless your daddy owned the business and put you as the CEO just because you got the same name. And if that's you, God bless you. I celebrate with you too. But I want you to know, most of us didn't start at the top. My first job in the church was just to pay the bills. I had a business background, so I paid the bills, took care of the business. And then I cleaned the toilets. I got a promotion. I became toilet cleaner. Mm-hmm. I'm good at it too. Well, I had to clean the toilet here. We're not going to go there, but ooh, it was bad. So often, successful people forget the breaks that they were given on their way to the top. I want you to never forget the breaks. I never forget the people that touched my life and influenced my life and helped me along the way. You ever watch, anybody ever watch the Spartan race? I love the Spartan races. It's like 10 people on a team, and they're all trying to get to the finish line together. And you can't cross the finish line without all your team. And if you do, you're disqualified. Well, there's this one obstacle. It may not be like in every race, but one of the races I watch, there's this muddy water pit, and there's this really highly slanted, slick wall, and it's full of muddy water. It's very slippery. You cannot climb it on your own. So one guy gets along the wall and lays on the wall, and then he helps his friend get on his shoulders, and the next one on his shoulders, and the next one on his shoulder, till they reach the top, and then they begin to help one another climb up each other till they're all over the wall together. It's an amazing strategy to watch, and it's a great thing to say. You know why? Because we're all standing on the shoulders of somebody. That's how we got the perspective we have. You didn't get here by yourself. And don't forget the breaks you got along the way. And help somebody else get to where it is they're trying to go. And lastly, don't forget the people that helped you along the way. It says in verse 23 of chapter 40, the chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. He got back to his position. He was all glad. I'm back to being the chief cupbearer. I got life made in the shade. I got a raise. I got a nicer room at the palace and all. And I forgot all about that guy. Along the way, we can never forget the people that helped us. Oh, I go back to the people. My pastor that taught me, my pastor that trained me, he raised me up. I think about pastors like Pastor Doug McAllister in Slidell who came alongside me early in this church and became my friend, and he taught me and he helped train me, helped me walk some paths I didn't know how to walk. I think about my friend David Vestal, who's with the Gateway Church Network in Texas. David and I have become really close friends. And Eddie Freeman down in Tampa, Florida, successful pastors who pastor great churches and have come alongside me and they helped me. I want you to know that you know, no pastor in this country has ever pastored through a pandemic until now. And now we all experts. You know how we became experts? We did it together. But every week I would be on a call, a Zoom conference call with hundreds of pastors all around the country, and we were all sharing knowledge and sharing experiences and stuff like that. I learned so many things going through those things because I'm here because if people have helped me along the way. Don't ever forget the people that helped you get to where it is you're going. You know, you hear those, you can clap for that. Listen, you ever hear those stories about the guy who went to medical school, right? And his little wife worked her fingers to the bone to help put food on the table. All of a sudden, he gets to being Dr. So-and-so, and he goes and finds him a new wife. You know, listen, that just ain't right, you know? You just find, I'm sure there's some other factors there. I'm just saying, it just don't look right, right? And along the way, we cannot forget the people that helped us get to where it is that we're trying to go. There are still people helping me today, and I'm so thankful for that. And I'll never forget those people. Let me give you a word of encouragement. While there may be times where people will forget you, even when you've helped them, God never will. Amen. You know, Joseph was in that jail, and the cupbearer forgot all about him, but you know what? God never did. Oh, God knew he was there, and God was still preparing and getting ready, because you know the next thing that happened? Pharaoh had a dream. And all of a sudden, Pharaoh was a little dejected one morning, and cupbearer said, "What's wrong? Man, I had this dream last night. I can't get out of it." All of a sudden, he remembered, "Oh, Joe, or there's this guy in your jail. Man, he knows how to interpret dreams, and he's good. He got me exactly right, and the chief baker, he got him exactly right, and you did exactly to him what he said you were going to do." Sure, he didn't want to talk about that. Listen, in our kingdom connections, we got to learn to celebrate each other's victories, help others get where they need to go, and don't forget the people that helped you along the way. Listen, we're all part of this body of Christ, and according to the word, we all belong to each other. Every one of us has something to offer somebody else. How many of you have ever thought, let's be honest with me for a minute, how many of you ever thought you had nothing to offer? "I got nothing to offer anybody. I don't know how to do anything." That's a lie from the enemy himself. Listen to me. Every one of you is valuable to the kingdom of God. Don't ever let the enemy whisper in your ear anything contrary to that truth right there. You're all valuable. And God has a place for every one of you to make a difference in this world for him. Would you stand with me? Now, Joseph was in that prison cell, and all the time was passing, and he had to be wondering, "God, I guess you've forgotten about me. Can't see you working anymore. I'm still here." All of a sudden, Pharaoh has that dream. I want you to know, God never wastes an experience. No matter how traumatic it may have been, no matter what a tough time it may have been for you, I want you to know, listen to me, the Bible says in Romans 8 that God works all things together for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. I want you to know what you're going through may not be good, but I want you to know on the other side of it, God says that I'm going to rectify that too. Joseph had a dream that started it all, and he was now interpreting the dreams of others. This calling and gifting of God is what would ultimately give Joseph the place of honor as second in command of all of Egypt, the most powerful nation in the world at the time. I want you to know that your gifting and your calling will make a way and make a place for you in the kingdom of God. God is the author of the connections in your life. As a matter of fact, the connections that you need to get where it is that you're trying to go could be sitting right next to you. Don't look. If you're ready to be involved in kingdom connection, just raise your hand for me. Heavenly Father, you see the willing participants to being a part of the kingdom connections. And God, realizing that you are intimately involved in the life of your people, day in and day out. No matter how mundane our days may look at times and how insignificant they may seem, God, we realize and trust that you are involved and you care about the things that concern us. And my prayer, God, for every one of these people with their hands raised, both here in our presence and at home or watching online, God, that you are going to continue to do a work in the lives of your people. I know you're not finished on this earth. And as long as you're not finished here, you're not finished with us. God, continue to knit our hearts together to make an impact on this world for Jesus, one soul at a time. We give you praise and we give you glory because you're worthy in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday.